This is a slide that Evan's sliding down on.
Oh, what's up here?
That's where you go down and you land in a swimming pool right there.
Oh, that's a swimming pool. So that's not an eye?
Oh, Evan, look at this picture.
That's Evan. Who is
that? That's the leopard seal.
That's you.
Oh, that's me.
The leopard seal.
Oh. What's over here?
That's where when the babies go down, they can swim in that little water.
Oh, okay. And this part?
That's the stairs. That's where you slide down, and then you go out of the pool.
Oh, gotcha. I like it. As I was thinking again about last week's podcast and the way that we compare our lives to other people, I was thinking about why we do that. What are some of the motivations behind that? And I think one of the major motivations for the reasons we compare our lives is because of the expectations that we have or that we once had for our own lives and the direction and the speed and the movement that we thought our lives we move in, and then the place that we find ourselves now, and we wrestle with what to do with that. And so I was reminded of this piece I had written about the expectations of our lives and the movement of our lives, and so I wanted to share this piece with you today. And talk about first of all, talk about my daughter and her coloring. You see, a few years ago, my daughter, she loved to just make random drawings and marks and loops and scribbles, and she would put them all on one big page, and then she would run up to me, and she'd crawl up my leg and sit in my lap, and she would ask me the question, "Do you like it?" And anytime you have a three-year-old who makes something and hands it to you and says, "Do you like it?" the answer is always yes. And I say something like, "Oh, wow, that's really, really good, honey." And I don't know what she did. I can't make anything out. I'm grasping at what I think something might look like. I might see a picture of something in here, and I sometimes guess and name different animals, and she laughs like I'm trying to be funny, and really I just have no idea what she's done, you know. She handed me this paper, and it contained an explosion of colorful circles and loops and spirals, and there's these stray marks where the paper just got away from her. And I can't make out what she's been doing, but you can be sure it's going to find a place on our refrigerator door. So I was thinking about that picture and about my daughter and how she loves those random drawings, but at this stage of my life, I prefer intentional marks, and she finds great joy in just free form, and I find my security in order, and she understands the audacity, the craziness that is the scribble, and I struggle with the fallacy, the lie of the straight line. Let me explain what I mean. See, every time that I sit with somebody, and it might be a young adult, it might be a couple that's been married for a few years, it might be somebody who is in the later years of their life, but they've had a major change. And when I sit with this person and they're concerned that their life is not moving in the direction or at the speed that she thought it would, I'm reminded about how much you and I, we love straight lines. We are skilled at developing plans and setting goals and creating situations that work to build our sense of purpose and direction. You and I, we take great security in being able to chart our lives, to follow the smooth lines leading from point A to point B and then on to point C, followed closely by D, and it continues in like fashion. But you see, the fallacy, the lie of the straight line is exposed by the unpredictability of life. Now the college that you wanted to attend, they're just not interested, and you'd hope to be married by this point, but you wake up alone every morning. You move back into the house that you tried so hard to leave just a few years ago. No one's hiring you to do the work that you love, and so you have to settle for doing work that pays. Tragedy visits your family, or barrenness torments your body. Each person's life, it is far removed from typical or expected or planned. And I think if we were to look back and map out our lives, it would look more like a scribble. a scribble. It has loops, and it rises and it falls. It goes backward and then forward and then diagonal. It looks messy and it's uncontrolled, and it's hard to tell where up and down are located, where the beginning runs its course to the end, or whether there even is an end. And this was the picture, I think, that you find if you ever look in the Bible, if you ever read the stories in the Bible, you see this happening over and over again in people's lives. And the great thing about reading the Bible is that you can see the whole course of their life. You can see their entire story and read through it as though they're just figuring out, but you get to see everything from beginning to end and end to beginning. And so I read a story like Joseph, in Joseph's life in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that Joseph, he was loved by his father and he was blessed by God. But if you look at his life, if you chart the path of his life, that statement gets harder to verify. If you read the story, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and he was sold into slavery. He arrived in Egypt and he rose in the ranks and he became the CEO of Potiphar's house. But what happens after that? After that, his owner's wife solicited him for sex, and he was framed for sexual assault, and then he was thrown into prison. Several years later, he left prison, and then he becomes second in command of all of Egypt. And then to add to the dramatic effect, Joseph has this incredible reunion with his brothers. And you think it's going to be an episode of Jerry Springer, right? But when he finally revealed himself to them, here's what he says in Genesis 45. It says this: Joseph tells his family, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." So Joseph seems to think that God sent him. God sent him. The betrayal and the pit and the slavery and Egypt and the sexual advances and the lies and the prison. This was God sending Joseph to Egypt to save his family. There had to be a faster way. There had to be a straight line to move him from where he started in this blessing and favor in his family to now saving many lives. You see, this is the truth. You and I, we run from the scribble in our lives. We make assurances to ourselves that the scribble can't be God's plan, that God moves in clear, ordered, predictable ways. In fact, sometimes the only reason that we believe we're doing God's will or having God's blessing on our lives is because our life moves in a straight line, unless this isn't how God moves at all. Unless in the middle of all of the loops and the rises and the falls in our lives, right in the middle of all that is scribbled, there is God. And God is shaping and forming our hearts so that we find ourselves in the right moment. We find ourselves at the right place. We find ourselves at exactly the right time to be used by God to glorify Him, sharing a life and light with the world around us. There's another story of Moses, and at the end of Moses' life, he stands on this mountain and he looks over into the promised land. You see, Moses was a witness not only to the land that they said flowed with milk and honey, but also to his years of wandering and worshiping and waiting and stumbling and leading and learning and loving and even questioning. And so now at the end of his life, the land that is drawn out before him, this beautiful country that they're about to move into, it must also include the years of scribbling in the sand behind them. Could it be that the designation promised land included not only the land that was to be their gift, but also the desert that was once their home? The entire process, every movement in the scribble of their meandering, contained the struggle of what it meant to be a promised land people. And I get the sense that a bit of this wilderness wandering is inside of me, always wanting what I don't have, always complaining about where I currently stand in my life. Instead of experiencing what earlier church leaders had called the sacrament of the present moment, But see me, I ache to move on to what I am convinced is yet to come. But could it be that in the moments from where I am to where I want to be, there is no such thing as wasted space, no piece of time in which God is not shaping and twisting and turning the lines of my life? And just like Jacob in the Bible, it could be that in the middle of the scribble, I discovered that the Lord was in this place and I simply could not see it. I was not aware of it. Living and experiencing God in the scribble means that you and I, we don't get to see the end from the beginning, but we will clearly see the beginning from the end. We don't get to see the ending place from where we start. It's only by starting that we get to look back on our lives and trace the lines. You cannot see all that God is doing before you take your first step. But you take that step, trusting that the God of all creation, who in Jesus Christ has joined humanity in the scribble of our lives, walks with us through all of the loops and the circles, consistently using all that we encounter to show us a new way to live and to think and to work and to play and to love. And now we embrace Jesus in the middle of what looks like scribble, and we throw away all hopes of a perfectly straight line in our lives. I was reading about art therapy, and art therapists, they use this technique known as scribble drawing, and it helps patients work through their grief and their loss. And it's a simple idea. You give someone a piece of paper and you allow them just to fill the page with random swirls and lines for a period of time, and then you call time. And after the page is filled, the person is instructed to look at the lines and discover what images seem to appear in the middle of what looks like chaos. And so the person gets to work, finishing a circle and bending a line and adding creative touches until an image from their subconscious presents itself. Many times, this therapy will include working together with the therapist, connecting two sets of random lines into one meaningful picture. The audacity of the scribble in our lives means that at the end of all things, when the only true and righteous one stands to judge the nations and set the world right again, you and I will watch in wonder as we what look like random sets of unintelligible lines now start to take shape, and they find purpose in their proper light, formed and drawn and connected to the drawings of others by the very power of God, who calls light from darkness, speaks worlds into existence, forms humanity from the dust, and by his grace frames the scribble of our lives. So don't forget this. God is not way off in the distance somewhere, just watching you form the loops and the curves and the zigzags of your life, but God is with you at the table, holding your hand in his as together you walk through this messiness in life, and you're trusting that God, even out of this messiness, is creating something far more beautiful than we could ever create on our own.